Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
So Mike Riley, Sarge, I open up this week's show with a question to you. What's more important, the live crowd reaction or the incoming money from t-shirt and advertisers?
Give me the latter. Don't you think money, money, money? That is the most important thing in the world. That's what turns the globe round and round. Okay? Vince McMahon, the WWE, all of his lieutenants. Yeah, I mean, they want a crowd reaction. They want to see what the crowd thinks and so forth and all that stuff. But in the end, Jimmy, it's what sells the merchandise. It's
so,
what puts people in the seats, what, you know, generates your revenue for your WWE network, your pay-per-view sales, all of that stuff. Money is the top name of the game, hands down. Crowd reaction for me, but for a business standpoint, money, money.
So it's, I think it's clear that the WWE's answer to my question is, it's money. And
yeah,
the WWE Universe live crowd reactions be damned. To answer my own question, because I believe in giving opinions, it is money. And it has to be money, because WWE right now is an international business. And I want to make it clear that WWE isn't wrong to take the money. But what WWE needs to stop doing, and I feel like to a degree recently they have, is they've stopped empowering the WWE fan base, the WWE universe, by saying, we listen to your voice. I think the WWE fans, the WWE universe, if we want to use their terminology, take that in a literal sense of, if we yell and scream, they will change things. And I can only think of one time that that really happened. That was Daniel Bryan winning WrestleMania in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
But I think WWE means it in a much deeper way than just crowd reaction. The wrestling fan in general speaks with their wallets. I mean, Mike, how much money have we spent on wrestling since Dallas?
I was thinking about that the other day, Jimmy. It's funny you said that. I could reveal that number to everyone now if you really want me to.
No, I don't. I'm just, it's more of a lucid general term. Like, we have gone to Dallas, we have gone to Orlando, we have gone to New Orleans. We have done a lot of things in between, and we, as wrestling fans, we have invested a lot of money into the product.
And but you know what, Jimmy? And I know people knock you and I and knock wrestling fans for, you know, oh, you're 30 or 40, you're a wrestling fan. What's wrong with you?
Well,
you
37, know, 30-year wrestling fan. Proud of it. Thank you very much.
Okay, good. Thank you very much, too. 34. Just turned 34 3 weeks ago. Thanks for all the birthday notes. But you know what? I want to I've been a fan for about 28 years now. I'd say 29 years. Okay, same deal. And I have no objection to that. I enjoy it. I have no problem investing money into something that I enjoy that's going to bring me happiness. And, Jimmy, you even said it, too, to someone. I saw a tweet recently. It was along the lines of, you know, someone knocking you down. And you were like, wrestling has brought me to places I've never been to. It's introduced people to me that I never would have been introduced to and made friendships from it. And it really has for me, too. You know, listeners, people on Twitter, even meeting people in the other cities where we were for WrestleMania, like you said, going to the, even meeting people in the company, the WWE and Ring of Honor, New Japan. It's opened numerous doors. It's been a great networking tool, not just because I'm looking to, if I ever want to elevate myself in the wrestling industry, I don't know, but I'm just saying, though, it has opened many doors for me, and I have no regrets to it. So it is a great, it's a beautiful thing when you throw money at something that you enjoy, and that's everything about life.
And I think to the point is we've spent a lot of money. We've made great friendships with people, as you said. But I think the WWE fan or the member of the WWE universe doesn't understand that when somebody buys a Roman Reigns item, that counts as a positive silent vote for Roman Reigns.
Right.
And I ask this question and I bring up this topic because the sense that I get is there is an uproar over Braun Strowman and Becky Lynch being portrayed as villains when the live crowds are reacting differently than the written story arc seems to be pointing them. And in the case of Becky Lynch, I went back and I watched her beat down on Charlotte at SummerSlam, and it's pretty clear to me that the crowd was happy Becky Lynch beat up Charlotte post-match. And maybe this is to Becky's point on her promo last week. How many fans actually bought her t-shirt that weekend? And maybe that's the level of support that she's seeking. Maybe that's the level of support that a Braun Strowman doesn't get, is they get the live reaction, but when you're at the merchandise stand, ooh, I'll have that Roman Reigns item. Ooh, I'll have that Charlotte Flair item. Ooh, I'll have that John Cena, that AJ Styles item. I'm not buying for Becky Lynch. I'm not buying for Braun Strowman.
Yeah. Well, okay, so a couple things on that.
And this is a long way of saying that if you want to support your favorite wrestler, just going to the event isn't enough. And as silly as that sounds, it's the way it is. A few months ago, there was a great photo going around the internet of a male Bayley fan dressed from head to toe in her gear. Mike, do you remember an instance? We were in Worcester and we did VIP. We were sitting front row and there was a person to my left who I think was in his 30s and a huge Roman Reigns fan. He had the shield. He had the gloves. He had everything. Cheered for Roman the entire night. Like if you go back in the videos that I took, you hear, you know, somebody very clearly yelling, "Let's go, Roman." But to the point, that's what WWE wants, is they want that fan to spend all of that money on their product. And that's how they evaluate things.
And, you know, and you're right. So you and I, we work with sales guys. We see them a lot at the station and deal with them every now and then. So, yeah, it's almost like hitting your quota, hitting that number. And that's what it seems like from what you're saying here with the merchandise sales. And that's what I see here. However, I will say that the designs for Becky Lynch's T-shirt in her logo, I would not buy one personally. I just would not. She's my favorite female wrestler on the roster, but I'm not going to buy anything because I'm not a fan of the design. I do like Charlotte's, and Charlotte's my second favorite. I do like her logo better than Becky Lynch's. I'd probably buy a Charlotte one over hers. But that's the problem where you're saying in that situation where if you don't buy one or support Becky Lynch, she's going to get downgraded on the roster, or not downgraded, but you know what I mean, not get that belt with the championship title that the fans want or where the fans want her to be. Instead, they're basing it on a sales number.
Well, and this is just from people that I've interacted with. This is just kind of the sense that I get, is that there's a entire business metric to this. And this is something we've talked about, the business of WWE, for a long time now. It's been a subplot for the podcast, but I like the business aspect of it. And I find it fascinating that crowd reactions are no longer the determiner. That's why, like, I think Roman is the number one guy because he sold to ESPN, in the same way that Charlotte is the top female performer. And I actually had somebody, I believe his name is Michael. He's a listener to the podcast. Asked me, you know, why did Charlotte get the championship back? And my response was, they're either doing Ronda versus Charlotte at the Evolution pay-per-view non-title, champion versus champion, or the only reason why they took it off her was because she needed the summer to go do ESPN the magazine. She needed to get her implant fixed. She needed to get some denture work. She had another injury that I don't think anybody knows about, but she needed the summer off to kind of get to 100% and do all of these little media appearances.
Yeah. And, you know, besides the media appearance and stuff, I mean, in the end, these athletes are human, just like you and
I. Oh, 100%.
Okay. And you get your vacation time at the station. I get vacation time. We all get that. So they're human. They need that time off and just let the body heal. But you're right. I do get that aspect of it. to let, you know, change the storyline a little bit. And now she's back in the fold here. And Jimmy, just to touch on that point there for what you just said with Charlotte and Ronda Rousey, all signs could indicate that's what we're going to get at the Evolution pay-per-view. I know we're, what, 2 weeks away from the Hell in a Cell.
They have like three big shows. They have Hell in a Cell, some show in Australia, the Evolution pay-per-view. I mean, we're going to a big show in Boston that's going to be it might end up being the best house show we've ever been to.
Oh, all right. Now, listen, I would love that. I just hate going in with an overrated feeling because if something bad happens, then my hopes are let down big time.
Then you blame me. Easy enough. Everybody else blames me for everything, so why not you?
That's right, yeah. Screw you, Jay Stu.
Bitter much? That's actually a dig at me, but that's okay.
It's cute. I like that. There's just so much happening right now. So after the Hell in the Cell, they are full-fledged for Evolution. And I said a couple of weeks ago, I wouldn't be surprised if there is going to be a title for title there, Ronda Rousey and Charlotte, where you could flip them to one of the other shows. It could happen. You know, maybe have one of them take both belts. There's so much possibility there. But it looks like those two are about to go at it in Long Island there in late October.
So there's a note from Meltzer that I want to get to later on in the podcast revolving around the Evolution pay-per-view. But I think just to wrap up the whole business aspect of it, I think this is the business aspect of it is maybe the reason why we're seeing Becky Lynch and Braun Strowman on the villain side of things rather than Roman Reigns, The Shield, and Charlotte Flair, even though the crowd, the vocal minority or the vocal majority are deeming it a different way to look at things.
Well, even, you know, you're right, and that's what they're pushing it down our throat on, especially what we saw this week on Raw with Braun Strowman at the end of it, his alliance there with Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre, and then, you know, dismantling The Shield and, you know, Roman Reigns there. That's the picture that they're painting for us here and what they want us to root for. But I don't know. I think that the damage might be done with Braun Strowman, a guy who has been over for such a long time. I think he did sell some T-shirts with these hands and that Monster in the Bank thing. That was a great marketing tool. So if they're going to make that change, I guess it makes sense to have him be that, you know, the heel that they want. Because, you know, Brock Lesnar's out of the picture now for the time being. And he was the big guy, you know, and now this is going to be the guy for Roman Reigns to try to take down Braun Strowman. I know they fought before, but, you know, this is the one that's filling the void there for Brock Lesnar while Roman Reigns was going against Lesnar.
Well, and this is classic Hulk Hogan 1980s booking. It's Roman Reigns is the white meat babyface. And he's taking on the one-man gang and King Kong Bundy and Andre the Giant. And, you know, this is Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman, and we'll see whatever. Maybe they can bring back the great Khali and he can conquer another giant. But this is an attempt for them to get sympathy on Roman Reigns, and we'll see what happens with it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So
I think the second big topic that came out of Raw this week was spawning from the fabulous match between Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens for the Intercontinental Championship. Kevin Owens lost the match and then storyline quit. And I say storyline quit because I think he signed a 5-year extension recently. And according to one outlet, he actually pitched a match with Vince McMahon for an event. And I don't remember if it was WrestleMania or not, but this story led many on the internet, I should say, to wonder if Kevin Steen would be all in this weekend.
Yeah.
Mike?
You know, okay, so I saw the Twitter universe blow up on that too, and, you know, all of the rumor mills and everything. Will I be surprised if it happens? No. But will it happen? I'm going to say a hard no. I just don't see it happening, Jimmy. You know, he's under contract. This is just pure kayfabe for what we saw on Raw. I'm not feeling the situation there. Now, a few months ago, talked to me with the Daniel Bryan scenario. with his contract and so forth that we thought expired, you know, this weekend. Made perfect sense. Just don't see it happening, Jimmy. I just cannot see it possibly happening. What do you got?
So I don't think that Kevin Owens will be all in, but one detail that is worth mentioning. Kevin Owens was storyline fired a few months ago. Pro Wrestling Tees did sell Kevin Steen t-shirts.
Yeah, that's he's got to deal with them, though, right?
Kevin Steen t-shirts, Chicago-based company.
Well, if you're going to read into that, then all right, I can. I get the whole conspiracy, the whole, you know, things to read into on the radar, but I'm not buying it. Nope. Sorry,
Kevin
Jimmy.
Steen pro wrestling t-shirts.
Not buying it. Nope.
Be a great surprise.
Jimmy, I'll place a wager with you on that. You want to
I
do one?
Don't gamble.
Oh, come on.
Can we call Lift Shats? Maybe he'll take some action.
That's a good podcast, too.
But I think the Kevin Owens quitting storyline could be something interesting going forward, whether it's him just needing some time off, whether they're going to switch him back to SmackDown, or you know maybe he's been hiding an injury and he just needed some time off.
Yeah, and you know, Jimmy, like I know I've Roman Reigns, I get it, the Universal Championship, I get it. And a credit to the WWE for you know, hyping up the Intercontinental Division. They've taken it to a new level this year. It's been really good. And it was a good match on
Raw. Well, they've had to. They had to have the Intercontinental Championship mean something. They 100% had to.
It was bad for a while. It was like almost
But they also they didn't have their world champion, their Universal Champion.
Right.
So they had no choice.
Great push. It's worked wonders. So, you know, I could totally see Kevin Owens, you know, going again for the IC title down the line. And it, like you said, if he goes back to SmackDown, right into the U.S. title, or...
No, you put him in a feud with AJ again, or, you know, if Samoa Joe wins the championship, there's...
You go at him.
You know, the Miz and Kevin Owens could have a great story against each other. I mean, I know they're both on the villain side, but they could do a lot of money together.
Yes. So that's that other possibility right there, because right now, Raw, it's just Universal title for Roman. And if he's going to go up against Roman Reigns, you know he's going to win that one. It ain't going to be Kevin Owens.
I have to admit something. On Sunday night when I started putting my notes together, I thought that the lead story was actually All In Weekend. And it's not so much that Cody, because of course we can't say his last name because that's owned by somebody else. Cody is challenging for the NWA Championship, or that Jay Lethal is defending the Ring of Honor championship against the winner of a Battle Royal live on WGN, which is actually a big deal.
Yeah.
It's more the fact that Cody, Matt, and Nick Jackson, and Kenny Omega had this challenge laid before them to sell out 10,000 tickets, and they did it in 30 minutes. And our friend Conrad Thompson put together this fan fest called StarCast, and it sold out. And I'd love to be in Chicago, generally speaking, but this weekend, it's really a place that I want to be and a place that I'd like to be, because you think about here are a handful of wrestlers and they put together a business plan off of a Twitter challenge, for lack of a better way of putting it, and they're doing it. And I hope it's successful, and I'll be watching. I'll be watching.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? To see... Okay, for our friends, colleagues, Conrad and Bruce, for how far they've come in the last 2 years, to see kind of like this little empire they're growing, you know, it's really cool to see how far they've come and what they're able to do and actually build upon a fan fest like that. Jimmy is very excited right now, too, by the way. Can I tell him what's going on here? You've clearly distracted me by looking at your reaction on the video. I got to tell everyone what's happening. Do you mind?
No, I don't mind it. So as we're taping this towards the end of SmackDown, and Charlotte Flair is defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against Carmella, and she has successfully retained her championship. But Carmella lasted longer in the figure four, bridged into the figure eight, and there's the sneak attack from Becky Lynch. Brilliant. Good job, Becky.
There's just too much time left. You knew it was only a matter of time.
But Carmella actually lasted longer in the figure eight than I think Asuka did at WrestleMania.
Is that true?
Yeah, she was in there a while.
So, you know, speaking of Oscar, are they burying – who's been buried worse since the character push? I know this is not on the agenda, but
– No, that's fine.
I gotta,
this is my fault because I'm just so, like, invested in Charlotte, so
– I'm invested in this storyline right here with Becky.
Oh, it's a fabulous storyline. It's so easy.
Best one going. Best one going. Who's had a bigger bury in a hole since being pushed from a superstar standpoint? Asuka or Bayley?
That's a good question. At least Asuka had the... I mean, Asuka went unbeaten for 914 days.
She never won the title.
Never won a main roster championship. I mean, Becky hasn't won a pay-per-view match in 560 days.
Okay. I'm talking about Bayley.
No, I know. I couldn't tell you the number on Bayley. Yeah. But at least Bayley had a WrestleMania win because she won in Orlando.
She had a WrestleMania win, but
Hey, wait a minute. She beat Charlotte Flair's undefeated pay-per-view streak.
Okay, so that's
pretty good.
That is all right. So, okay, I guess we just answered the question. Probably Asuka.
Oh yeah, Asuka lost to Carmella back to back shows, and really hasn't been seen since.
Yeah, and but again, to where I was talking with Bayley about her, you know, she wasn't on the SummerSlam card. She wasn't on the.
She almost won the WrestleMania Battle Royal.
Yeah, but okay, so what's happened to... I mean, this is the problem with this merger, if you will, the co-branded pay-per-views where half of the roster is only going to get a match and, you know, other people are going to be shut out. So a situation like that with Bayley and Asuka not even making it on the pay-per-view scenario. Think about that.
I think that they have so few... I think to your point, they have so few spots to feature the women wrestlers.
Yeah, well...
That Evolution. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah. So it's just something I thought about the other day. Who was buried? Who's been buried more? So, yeah.
Oh, it's Asuka.
Now it is. Yeah. Yeah. But thinking off the top of my head.
I mean, realistically, I can't remember the last time I saw her on SmackDown.
I can't either.
And by the way, she might have been on tonight's show and I just missed it, but I don't think she was.
Yeah, I caught the last half hour in about
And by the way, I know that there are performers in the company who think the world of Asuka. And okay. who want more for her, and for some reason, it's not happening.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. Sorry to go sidetrack there, Jimmy.
No, that's okay. That's my fault because, like I said, as we're taping this, Charlotte was fighting and defending her women's championship, and I got emotionally invested, and that's what happens. That's the fan in me. I was trying not to show it, but. When Carmella's in the figure eight for that long, like I legitimately almost screamed tap out, but I was trying to be professional and it didn't work.
And you signaled it too, and it was very hard distraction.
So back to the format.
Yep.
WWE announced that Shawn Michaels would be at Raw next week in Columbus, Ohio, as WWE is pushing their show in Australia. One of the featured matches on that show is Triple H taking on The Undertaker for what they are calling the last time. I want to quote from Mike Johnson of PWInsider.com. Quote, PWInsider.com has learned that it is not only Michaels who will be at Raw next week. We have confirmed The Undertaker is also slated to be at next week's Raw taping.
Wow.
I don't know why they said taping, but they said taping. Whether Undertaker appears on the Raw broadcast remains to be seen, but we have confirmed with multiple WWE creative sources that he will be at the taping. Does Undertaker being at Raw excite you? Does Undertaker wrestling Triple H in Australia excite you, Mike Riley?
Being at Raw, yes. Wrestling Triple H in Australia, no. You know, we saw a great match. You were there for it, Jimmy. WrestleMania, what, 28?
WrestleMania 28 in Miami.
Okay, that was
one of the best matches I've ever seen live.
Right, and in the Hell in the Cell, Shawn Michaels, the referee. They called that the end of the era. Just stop. That's it. You don't have to do it again. There's no need to beat a dead horse. Done. obviously, I understand Australia is probably paying a boatload of money, kind of like what Saudi Arabia did with the Greatest Royal Rumble. You've got two top superstars of all time, not hiding anything behind that. But there's no need to have them do this again. I'm almost guessing this is The Undertaker saying, you want me back? I'm only going to fight Triple H. I'm only going to fight A, B, C, D, and Triple H is on the list. So that's the only reason I see that, but I don't care. Will I watch it? Yes, I will, but it doesn't excite me to really have to watch that match.
So I'm okay with them doing the match, as disappointed as I am that I didn't see their last encounter. I'm not sure that they can top that match in Miami. I do have one hope, and the hope is that they're not just doing this match so Triple H can get a win on The Undertaker on a big stage. I'm sure that Triple H has beaten The Undertaker in a one-on-one match before, but at WrestleMania, I think he's 0-4.
Yeah, well, you know what? For some reason, Jimmy, even that WrestleMania 27 win for The Undertaker against Triple H, I know he won in the record book. It kind of felt like a win for Triple H, though.
Yeah, because they carted him off, and I think people forget that match because it was Atlanta, and that was one of the worst WrestleManias ever, I felt like.
Yeah, it was a down one. It wasn't the best.
I think their 17 match was their second best match. I know people will say that where was their Miami was 28, 27 was Atlanta. I was 26.
That was Arizona. No, but he fought Shawn Michaels there.
So maybe it's 0-3 at WrestleMania. For some reason I thought 0-4. I thought they did 3 in a row, and then they did Houston for 17, but doesn't matter. I think he's 0 for WrestleMania against The Undertaker. Somebody's yelling in their car right now, being like, you got it wrong, blah, blah. I got it wrong, blah. But back to the point is, I didn't love the fact that Triple H beat John Cena when they did their last international show on the network, but right. I kind of understood it. John Cena was losing to everybody on TV. Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, Strowman, Nakamura, Undertaker. I'm sure there's more, but John Cena's doing what's best for business, because he's a part-timer right now, and that's what he should be doing. So I hope Undertaker wins this match, just because I think for a longer-term storyline, I wouldn't mind seeing a John Cena-Undertaker WWE Championship match for WrestleMania 35 in New York.
Yeah. But who do you
Taker's
have?
Last run with the title, Cena going after his 17th championship, after getting routed in New Orleans. It's a good, simple story. I know the hardcore fan will hate it because they're putting the belt on a 50-year-old man.
You know what, Jimmy? It's not that I don't hate that. It's like it almost and Taker looked good this year at WrestleMania compared to last year, Roman Reigns. And it was a short match with John Cena. I thought he was in better shape this year, though. It's just a hard thing for me. Like, you, everything, it's age. You just.
But what would be more interesting to you, Mike? Would you rather see Undertaker John Cena or go through Goldberg and Brock Lesnar again? And by the way, I thought they had a good match in Orlando.
No, it was okay. I mean, I don't know. Roman Reigns had to do all that work. John Cena did all the work at WrestleMania in New Orleans this year, too. It was a quick match. It would be Taker, John Cena. It would. I mean, I'd prefer that much more than a quick two-part timer. But if they're going to go with the Universal title again, if they're going to go after that, put him on Raw, then I guess it does make sense. You could do that because that title is still young. You know, you want to have these guys that have big-name guys that have held the Universal title. You know, it's a up-and-coming belt. So, I mean, I it would make more sense Undertaker John Cena over a Brock Lesnar Goldberg situation.
And I mean, they, you know, we'll talk a little bit about, I have a little bit of a transition into WrestleMania 35 matches, and, you know, a Taker Cena match I think would be appealing to the mainstream fan, a rematch from the route last year. But before we get to that idea, I want to read Meltzer from the, he had a paragraph on the women's pay-per-view that's upcoming. Quote, The lead idea for the Evolution main event on October 28th at the Nassau Coliseum is Ronda Rousey versus Nikki Bella, with the idea that you're headlining the two biggest mainstream women's stars in the company. We've talked about this. That was the match we heard as the scheduled, we being Meltzer, scheduled main event last week, and they seemed to start with the tease of the Bellas watching Rousey win the championship and sharing in her celebration. This is the line that struck me from this paragraph. It's also not 100% locked in, as many think about Rousey versus Charlotte for WrestleMania. It's certainly an idea on the boards, but there are a number of ideas. So the only way that WWE doesn't do Charlotte versus Ronda at WrestleMania is if they're doing it as the main event at Evolution, and it's a non-title champion versus champion match. I don't see that happening, but at least it makes some logical sense. I still think Charlotte versus Ronda should be the main event in New York for WrestleMania 35. And we're talking about Undertaker and Cena for a WrestleMania 35 match. Right now, if I'm putting together WrestleMania 35, it's Taker Cena, it's Charlotte versus Ronda, it's Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman, and it's a three-way match between all the members of the Shield, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose. That's okay. A pretty strong top four matches for WrestleMania, I think.
It's okay. All right. Now, let me just touch on that again with the Charlotte Ronda Rousey. You're saying if they're – or Meltzer's
so,
saying
– So if Meltzer is saying that they're not locked into Charlotte and Ronda at WrestleMania – Don't you have to do that match in October now?
I'd say so. I'd say you have to if they're not locked in. But who's to say, though, if they do it in October, why can't you do it again at WrestleMania? Why?
There's no reason why you can't. Like, I think that Charlotte and Asuka, too, should be on this Evolution show.
Sure. But you could also put, you know, Charlotte and Ronda Rousey again at WrestleMania 35. So I don't know why the hell Meltzer's saying that. You know? I don't get that.
Well, Meltzer's been 98% wrong lately.
No. And, you know, those three letters, but I won't, you know, say
yes.
That. But, yeah, that's a solid card there.
But it's the first time I've seen there be doubt in this Ronda Rousey-Charlotte match for WrestleMania. And that's why, in the context of that paragraph, it jumped at me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are they not doing Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte at WrestleMania? Even if it's not going on last, it's the big match. And right. If they're doing it the Evolution pay-per-view, then... Okay, I get it, because it's the first women's pay-per-view, even though I still think Ronda versus Stephanie should be the main event, but maybe they do Charlotte-Ronda here, they do Ronda-Stephanie at WrestleMania 35.
Yeah, or, you know, and with Triple H there, you could have another mixed tag match again, which actually worked out pretty well with him and Stephanie together, and throw someone in there with either Ronda or Kurt Angle again or someone else that's comfortable working with Triple H and Triple H working comfortable working with them. You could have John Cena. You could have John Cena and Ronda Rousey. You never know as a mixed tag. But, you know, that's a solid card. I don't think the Shield situation, Jimmy, the only way I see the Shield having a triple threat match is if it's for the Universal title.
Oh, 100% it would be. Roman carries the championship all the way into WrestleMania. It angers people, and Seth and Dean get jealous, and they finally have their three-way match, which I think fans have wanted to see for I don't know how long.
It's going to happen in the next year.
You know, and I think that they as competitors, they being Roman, Seth, and Dean, want to have that moment too, where they all get to work the main event of WrestleMania.
Of course. And that would be good for, it would be best for business and for the fans too. It will.
So, Mike, I want to close this week's episode by saying happy birthday to Vince McMahon. Mm. The chairman of WWE is now 73 years old.
Wow.
Mike, what's your favorite Vince McMahon moment?
Wow. There are so many with Vince. And that even goes back to him being at the broadcast table. You know, when he was play-by-play.
What a maneuver.
Yeah, but, you know, he was just so funny. I mean, my favorite broadcast team is Gorilla and Bobby Heenan, but Vince and Bobby Heenan together were awesome. They just brought out the best in each other. You know, from a commentary standpoint, Vince and Bobby Heenan together at the Survivor Series 93 at the Boston Garden, Bobby Heenan may have had the funniest commentary I've ever heard in my life.
Booger's my pick.
Oh, yeah. No, it was just so many good lines. That was Bobby Heenan's last ever pay-per-view, too, in the WWF before he jumped WCW. So that was mine right there for Vince, the commentator. But as Mr. McMahon, the chair, oh, man, I got to go with when Austin brings in the bear truck and just flashes him down there, sprays him down with the, you know, the hose and gets him soaked. Shane's in there too. The Rock is in there. Oh, it's just, he sold it so good. Everything with Vince McMahon and Stone Cold Steve Austin, anything they did, anything they touched turned to gold. It was perfect. And I don't know. I love that whole rival, and it was great. The McMahon-Austin feud there, just that moment when he got sprayed by the bear. How about you, Jimmy?
So I have two moments for Vince McMahon. The first is in 1983. Vince McMahon signed Hulk Hogan, and Vince McMahon was the only one with the vision and the thought process of turning professional wrestlers into superstars.
Okay.
And so that is moment number one. Vince McMahon signs Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
As far as on the camera, I think this was around October of 98. Vince McMahon had fired Steve Austin live on pay-per-view.
Oh,
and yeah. I think it was Kane versus The Undertaker were fighting for the vacant WWF Championship. Austin was the official, and Vince had promised that if Steve Austin didn't raise the hand of a new champion, Kane or Undertaker in victory, that Vince would fire Austin live on pay-per-view. Austin counted both men out, declared himself the winner, and Vince McMahon fired Steve Austin.
The next night
on Raw, Steve Austin, camo outfit and all, he kidnapped Vince McMahon for the entire night. At the end, he brought Vince to the ring with a gun pointed at his head, and when Austin pulled the trigger, it was a paper bang 316, and Vince McMahon soiled himself.
Yep.
It is the ultimate Vince McMahon showing that I own this company. I will do things that embarrass me as long as it draws money. So you should do things like kiss my ass, because that was a club, you remember.
Yep. Right.
And it was my favorite Vince McMahon moment, was him allowing himself to be kidnapped. I thought it was brilliant work.
Yep. And if you remember, that was, I think it was No Mercy 98 or whatever, and October that year. But he was also in the wheelchair. Remember, he was in the wheelchair? Because, and that was my second favorite one, when Austin went into the hospital and beat the living daylight out of him after Mick Foley's in there with Mr. Sacco. And Vince's like, Mick, get out of here. Leave. Goodbye. See you later. And then, you know, the nurse is like, oh, doctor, and come on over here. And next thing you know, Austin's hiding behind the mask and just goes and beats the living daylight out of him with a bedpan. Vince sold it perfect. And then he had the little hose. It was amazing. Absolutely awesome. So you're right. Nail on the head. Vince, if he can sell it, he'll do what's best for business, and he can be the victim of that. That's the true professional that he is.
Vince McMahon, 73 years old. Pretty good.
I love him. By the way,
Mike, yeah, go ahead.
One more birthday, too. We should wish a very happy birthday to WWE Hall of Famer. Turned 70 years young this week. That would be, can you put your right hand up at a salute there, Jimmy? Sergeant Slaughter, happy birthday. Sarge, the real Sarge right there. Right, not left.
I'm ambidextrous, Mike.
He retweeted me, and he said, thank you. Now, enjoy the rest of the day, you maggot. You
nice.
Maggot.
Mike, any closing thoughts? Anything you want to plug here?
At WrestleCast95 on Twitter. Check us out there. Solid show as we get ready for Hell in a Cell. And as always, at Sarge985 on Twitter. At I Am James Stewart on Twitter. You know that handle there. I think I'm going to close it out. So, Jimmy, you got anything else there? Because I'm good.
Nope. For Mike Riley, at Sarge985. I am James Stewart. That is also my Twitter handle. And, of course, if you're going to do it with flair.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.